This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Merchants Trust, please go to www.merchantstrust.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. In each edition, Simon Gergel, fund manager at the Merchants Trust, offers his thoughts on developments affecting the UK market and what it means for investors. Simon, it's good to see you again. Anyone who monitors global markets will know that the UK has been more resilient, has outperformed other markets since the start of the year. Now, why is this?
Well, hi, John. It's great to be back. There's actually quite a few reasons why the UK is performing better than other markets. I think one of the first reasons, if you look at the mix of companies in the UK market, we have more exposure to areas like commodities, mining, energy, which have clearly been strong because of the rising commodity prices, more exposure to the bank sector, where interest rates rises is helpful for the banks, and less exposure to some of the high growth, high technology areas, where actually valuations have come down as interest rates have risen. So sector composition of the UK is interesting and helpful. I think you've also had, after 4 or 5 years of Brexit uncertainty and then the pandemic, investors are starting to look at the UK from abroad and saying, this is an interesting asset class, interesting area, because the UK economy is starting to do well and got some potentially some pent up demand from all those uncertainties. And the final thing is the valuations of the UK, as we've discussed many times, are well below other markets and well below history, or certainly somewhat below history. And so you've got this interesting market where the economy is recovering quite nicely, perhaps faster than other areas. The mix of the market's good and the valuations are quite low compared to other markets. And that's attracting interest in a way that we haven't seen for many years in the UK. So it's quite exciting from a UK equity point of view to see other people interested.
Expand on that third point a little bit more, because you're absolutely right. A number of times on this podcast, on A Value View, you've said that the UK is undervalued, and that's what makes it attractive for you. And here we are now with, I suppose to a degree, that bearing some fruit.
Yes, I think often assets can be undervalued for a long time, but you need a catalyst and to get it moving. And I think the catalyst is that we're potentially coming out of the pandemic, I think, which has been depressing sentiment for such a long time. And the UK has probably suffered worse than many other countries during a pandemic, but it's coming out potentially a little bit quicker as well. So that, because valuations are cheap, because of the mix of the market's interesting, that's a bit of a catalyst. People can now look at the UK, and we don't have, there's the obvious reasons not to invest in the UK, like the Brexit uncertainty, have gone now. And so I think the UK is attracting more interest, yeah.
And you touched on some of those sectors, but are there any particular areas where you're seeing opportunities to invest?
Well, yeah, the other feature of the UK is, again, we've touched on this in previous podcasts, is how polarized markets are, and not just the UK, but how polarized valuations are. So there's many companies are quite highly priced, but there's a lot of really interesting, modestly priced businesses, both in the cyclical areas and in the defensive areas. So in some of the cyclical areas, like the housing area and the businesses associated with the housing market, look quite interesting, lowly priced, resilient market, good opportunity there. Some of the more defensive areas, some of the utilities, perhaps telecoms, there are some opportunities there. So yeah, there are pockets of value that look quite interesting, actually. And we're finding good stocks, sensible prices that meet our investment criteria.
Reasons to be optimistic there that you're describing. But of course, one of the big stories of this year is that story of inflation, rising prices. So with inflation and rising interest rates as a result of that increasingly on the agenda, how are you navigating this when it comes to the portfolio?
Well, it's a good question, because rising inflation is potentially an issue, and we want the policymakers to try and to get the balance right. It's very hard to control it. So the problem we've got at the moment is a lot of the inflation we're seeing is being caused by supply chain problems. We've talked about COVID disruption to staff availability, container ships, shortage of drivers. There's semiconductor shortages. There's a lot of problems out there which have caused commodity prices to rise, transport prices to rise, and raising interest rates doesn't really control that type of inflation. It might reduce demand, which ultimately might control that. But there's a danger that if you raise interest rates too much, you kill off demand without really affecting the supply chain problems. What we're hopeful for is that over time, those inflationary problems in energy and supply chain will gradually subside and inflation will come down. It's not going to come back to where it was 2 or 3 years ago because we're seeing more sustained wage price inflation and other areas. But I think we should see a more modest level of inflation in the medium term. That's what we're hoping for. But we need to be vigilant because there's a chance that interest rates go too high and kill off demand, or that some of those supply chain problems remain more endemic, more sustained. But at the moment, we are hoping that inflation will come down a bit next year.
And it's one that's going to play out over the course of this year in particular. What do you think that means then when it comes to dividends?
Well, actually, we're seeing a pretty positive view on dividends at the moment. We've seen most companies have rebuilt their balance sheets and their finances post the pandemic. Very recently, we've been going through the banking sector results, and we're seeing the banks once again paying high levels of dividends. We're seeing strong dividend growth out of some of the consumer areas like house builders. We've seen the commodity companies, mining companies, paying very high dividends. So yeah, dividends have actually come back pretty well in the economy. Not every company is paying dividends at the rate it was pre-pandemic. Some companies have rebased their dividends down a bit, but generally dividend payments are good. And the payout ratio, so how much of a company's earnings are being paid out in dividends, has come down. And it's there's more protection, there's more fat, if you like, there's more ability for companies to keep growing their dividends going forward. So yeah, the outlook for dividends has been good, has been improving, and we're seeing a good flow of dividends coming through.
And now, do you see that going forward as well throughout the rest of this year, maybe as we even look ahead into 2023, if you can look that far ahead?
Yeah, at the moment it's looking good, but that's one of those risk factors. It depends a bit on where the economy goes. But at the moment, the outlook for dividends, because the payout ratio is comfortable, because profits have recovered, the outlook for dividends is looking quite positive at the moment.
But there is a great deal of broader uncertainty out there, not least the events unfolding currently in Ukraine. The wider geopolitical situation has become increasingly unstable. Are there any threats that you're worried about in particular? Threats that may affect consumer confidence, for instance?
Yes, absolutely. I think the big threat, the big risk is the consumer loses confidence. And in fact, companies and investors lose confidence and companies lose confidence. That could be partly geopolitics. We talked about that. That's definitely a risk if people confidence and they don't want to spend money because they're worried about what might happen. I think the other one is inflation. You've got a bifurcated consumer. There are many consumers in the UK and elsewhere who are really struggling today with rising energy prices and rising food costs and really struggling to make ends meet and are having to cut down their expenditure. On the other hand, there's quite a lot of consumers who've had life been quite good through the pandemic. They've saved money on travel. They've maybe not gone on holidays that they might have done in the past, and they built up some savings and they want to spend more money on their home and their environment and maybe start spending on leisure again. And so you've seen these two different types of consumers, and how that balances out as we go forward, as inflation picks up is a big question. So there are risks from confidence and there's risks from the cost of living, which could hit consumer spending. At the moment, the economic outlook's pretty good, but I think we've got to watch that very carefully.
Well, we'll certainly be discussing more of that over the course of this year. But Simon, we're out of time, unfortunately. Thank you very much indeed for your time and for your thoughts.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for listening to A Value View from the Merchants Trust, where we bring you topical news affecting UK equity markets. You can find out more about the Merchants Trust by going to themerchantstrust.co.uk. But thank you for listening. And from all of us at the Merchants Trust, it's goodbye.